Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. The most entertaining hour of your weekday afternoon is here yet again. Happy Tuesday to you all. It is April 17th. 2018. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to your ear live here on the campus of Michigan State University inside of Studio S at the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. We've got a lot to get to on today's current sports, and we will be starting and leading off the show after we get done with our headliners with yet another negative headline coming out of this university. Not sure if many of you know this, but this news broke a little after 11 a.m. today, and Michigan State Alumni Director Scott Westerman has made the decision to resign. He is MSU's Associate Vice President for Alumni Relations and Executive Director of the MSU Alumni Association. Scott Westerman has resigned amid an investigation by the school's Title IX office. The Detroit Free Press reports that Westerman told the school his resignation will take effect on July 31st. Now, MSU spokeswoman Emily Garrett tells the Freep that Bob Thomas will serve as interim director of the Alumni Association while a search for a new executive director is conducted. Garrett confirms a complaint was filed against Westerman with the school's Office for Institutional Equity back in early February, February 9th to be exact. The investigation is ongoing. Now, in comments to WKAR, Westerman wrote, quote, at 11 today, I met with my team to announce my impending departure from MSUAA to return to the private sector in Jacksonville, Florida, where the rest of the Westerman family lives. My last day will be April 27th. With the end of another school year at hand, the timing seemed appropriate. He continued to write, quote, I was recently surprised to learn that I am the subject of an OIE, Office of Institutional Equity, inquiry. It covers a brief period near the start of my tenure. It's not a police matter, and naturally, I am fully cooperating with the investigators. I won't have further comment until their work is complete. With regard to our departure, we have been planning to return to Florida for some time. The inquiry was not a factor in that decision, end quote. Again, that is what Scott Westerman wrote to us here at WKAR in response to this breaking news concerning an investigation concerning him and the OIE. Westerman has been at MSU since 2010 when he took over as leader of the university's Alumni Association. I will have brief thoughts and comments on this story. We want to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook.com/WKAR News live stream and comment there. I will get to your comments throughout this hour, and you can even tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR underscore sports. And after that convo, we hope to get to some kind of sports talk here on the show. As promised yesterday, I will get to the NBA playoffs. You'll get a few of my takeaways, specifically when it comes to last night's games and a few games that we watched over the weekend. A few points I want to make with LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Also, the Battlefield Brawl, the ninth annual flag football tournament, Battlefield Brawl, will take place this Sunday morning. We will have Sergeant Jason Fuller on the show to pub that. And Jim Harbaugh, according to Twitter, was threatened by one of his players. And these were some pretty in-your-face tweets, pretty serious tweets that alluded to some violence even. We'll get to that story on the back end of the show. I couldn't believe it when I read that this morning as well. So a lot to get to. Our plate runneth over. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. I just want to note that today's scheduled Michigan State softball game against Michigan at Sekia Stadium has been postponed due to, you guessed it, the beautiful weather that we have been experiencing here in mid-Michigan since last week, right? Gosh, it's just cold and snowy, cloudy, low temperatures. You can't play softball or baseball in that, right? The teams have rescheduled their opening, well, I should say their second meeting of the year for Wednesday, May 2nd at 4 p.m. Inclement weather has forced a shuffling of the entire Big Ten schedule for the Spartans this spring. Every series has had at least one day of postponement, of delay, or cancellation. MSU is scheduled to begin a three-game series at Ohio State on Friday with the first pitch scheduled for 6 p.m. We'll see if the weather allows that. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reported yesterday that the Seattle Seahawks are expected to release last year's second-round defensive tackle and former Michigan State University stud Malik McDowell. Yeah, the Seahawks have yet to medically clear McDowell, who was involved in a serious ATV accident last July that forced him to spend his entire rookie season on the team's non-football injury list. McDowell's physical situation has been something of a mystery ever since. The former MSU star suffered a concussion and also facial injuries in the accident, leaving Seattle's decision makers entirely unsure of his status for 2018. McDowell was brought into the league as a space-eating 299-pound interior force. The primary question today is whether or not he'll be healthy enough to catch on with another team. You know, current sports engineer Ian Hawley, I've always pondered this. If I was an athlete, because naturally I like trying different things. I like, you know, riding ATVs, and on my bucket list is to bungee jump. On my bucket list is to jump out of a plane. I'm pondering the idea of possibly later on down in life getting a motorcycle. But if I was a multi-million-dollar athlete where my job is centered on my body, you know what I mean? My body is what keeps me working, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a multi-million-dollar body on the line. Would I put myself in jeopardy of situations like riding an ATV? I've always pondered that. And I don't know. I kind of feel for Malik McDowell here because you want to have fun. You're young. You're going to the NFL. Things happen, right? I feel for the guy. I really do.
It reminds me of a similar situation that happened to a New York Giants linebacker, I believe, whose name I'm drawing a blank on, but he ended up you know, hurting a couple of his fingers with some fireworks one year.
JPP, yeah, fireworks JPP. Accident, lost, what, two fingers, I think it was?
I think two fingers, and they were both on his right hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, not necessarily the loss you want to have as a football player who uses his hands a lot.
Life is crazy, man.
So there's a lot of things that I don't think I would necessarily be doing if I was, you know, a professional athlete.
Right.
With my body as my moneymaker.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. That was a freak accident for JPP, who, again, by the way, I mean, what did JPP play? I think he's a linebacker. You know, you don't really need all your fingers, I guess, to push a guy and make plays. So he's been playing pretty well, actually, since that injury.
Yeah, he just kind of wraps his hand up like a big ball on the end.
Yeah.
And then if I was him, I'd just be punching people with that.
I'm sure he
does.
But
that's just me.
I'm sure he does when the refs aren't watching, right? But, yeah, I think when you talk about fingers, that's more instrumental in a game like basketball. Like, you can't be out there dribbling with three fingers in basketball, right?
You're not going to have very good handles that way.
Yeah, your shot will be all messed up, right? Mm-hmm. Air balls for days. Your career is done, all right? So, basketball players, be careful around July 4th, all right? All right, Benny Fowler. Speaking of former Michigan State football players, Benny Fowler is back in the Midwest. The former Michigan State receiver has signed a one-year contract with the Chicago Bears. The team made that announcement yesterday. Fowler had 56 catches over the past three seasons with the Denver Broncos in 2018. Fowler had career highs in receptions with 29, had 350 yards, and three touchdowns. Fowler won a Super Bowl ring with the Broncos, catching a two-point conversion pass, if you remember, from the great Peyton Manning. It was Manning's final pass in the NFL. What a moment, right? All right, Connecticut offensive lineman Jack Stewart became the ninth member of Michigan football's 2019 recruiting class today as he announced his intentions to play for Jim Harbaugh's Wolverines. Stewart is the third offensive line recruit in Michigan's class, joining four-star players Nolan Rumler and Trente Jones. Trent Jones. The 247 Sports Composite Recruiting Database grades Stewart as a three-star prospect and puts him as the number 83 offensive tackle, number 7 Connecticut player in the class. The new Canaan High School recruit has prototypical tackle size at 6'5", 280 pounds. Detroit Cass Tech's Jaron Magny, a 2019 four-star running back slash linebacker, is getting, quote, closer by the day, end quote, to picking a college football program. Magnum, 6'2", 210 pounds, said his finalists are, as listed, Michigan State, Colorado, Florida, Florida State, Oregon, Tennessee, Texas, Texas A&M, and TCU. He currently holds 48 college offers. Absolutely amazing. Everybody trying to snag this fantastic four-star running back slash linebacker from the D. All right, given how the last few days have gone, the thought of actually watching baseball seems really foreign. The Tigers saw the final two games of their series against the New York Yankees get postponed due to weather, giving them a rare three-day break in the middle of April. While temperatures won't be much better today, the precipitation should hold off. Yes, the Tigers might actually play baseball tonight. If the Tigers do take the field, they will do so against the Baltimore Orioles, who already find themselves in a hole. The O's have lost 11 of their first 16 games and are already 8.5 games behind the Boston Red Sox in the AL East. Neither team has been great offensively so far, but the Tigers have remained afloat thanks to a solid, if unspectacular, pitching staff. They currently own a 3.97 ERA as a team, the sixth lowest in the American League. Meanwhile, the O's have the fourth highest ERA in the AL at 4.65 through 16 games. They were even worse last season, allowing a 4.97 ERA, second worst in the American League. They gave up at least 5 runs in 20 consecutive games in June, an MLB record. If there's a pitching staff the Tigers should be able to take advantage of, it is Baltimore for sure. So we'll see if they get things popping tonight. Ziggy Ansah has been a ghost during Detroit's offseason conditioning program, but that's about to change. The team's most valuable pass rusher is returning from Ghana this week and plans to report today to sign his $17.14 million franchise tag. Ansah's return comes as no surprise. The 28-year-old defensive end spent last week in Ghana for a family obligation, but kept in touch with Detroit's front office and first-year head coach Matt Patricia. The Lions now have until July 16th to work out a long-term deal with Ansah, who piled up 12 sacks over 14 games in 2017. Also, a quick update concerning yesterday's NBA and NHL playoffs. Starting with the NBA, we saw Dwayne Wade turn back the clock and lead the Miami Heat to a 113-103 victory over the Philadelphia 76ers. That series is tied 1-1. And in Game 2, the Golden State Warriors fended off a pesky San Antonio Spurs team at Roracle last night for a 116-101 win. Golden State leads that series 2-0. Today, you can catch the Washington Wizards take on the Toronto Raptors starting at 7 p.m. Toronto leads that series 1-0. Game 2, the Milwaukee Bucks will play the Boston Celtics as Boston leads that series 1-0. And in Game 3, the New Orleans Pelicans will take on the Portland Trail Blazers at 10:30 p.m. The Pelicans lead that series 1-0. In the NHL, yesterday we saw the Boston Bruins fall to the Toronto Maple Leafs. That was a 4-2 final. Boston leads that series 2-1. Also, the New Jersey Devils beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-2. Tampa Bay leads that series 2-1. And Game 3 of the Nashville Predators and Colorado Avalanche, that game went in favor of Colorado last night, a 5-3 final. Nashville leads that series 2-1 still. The Ducks fell to the Sharks, San Jose, 8-1. San Jose leads that series 3-0. Absolutely dominating there. And today you can catch the Capitals and Blue Jackets at 7:30 p.m. At 8 p.m., the Jets and Wild. And at 10:30 p.m., the Las Vegas Golden Knights will play the Kings. And the Kings actually lead that series 3-0. The Winnipeg Jets lead the series against the Wild 2-0. And the Blue Jackets lead that series against the Washington Capitals 2-0. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's keep it moving.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away. I wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gonna stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And I know. Hey, I ought to leave the young thing alone. But ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
Yeah, little Bill Withers for you as we lead into our first topic of discussion here on WKAR's Current Sports. Ain't no sunshine. I think that's a fitting song for how many people here in the area of East Lansing feel right now, right? Because I feel like every other day now, we are reading a negative headline coming out of the camp of Michigan State University. If you are just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, first, welcome. And secondly, I want to pass along again the breaking news that broke around 11 a.m., a little after 11 a.m. this morning. And that concerns now, well, he's still in that position right now because his resignation won't take effect until late July, July 31st to be exact. But Michigan State University's alumni executive director, Scott Westerman, is under investigation by the school's Title IX office, and he has resigned. Again, his resignation would take place July 31st, and he noted that he will be moving to Florida to be closer to family and return to the private sector. Those of you all who listen to us here at WKAR know that Scott Westerman actually helped us out a lot through the years. You could hear his voice on our airwaves. I remember when I really got to know Scott, that was actually during the Rose Bowl year, where Alex Sharg, former current sports engineer, and myself, we went out there and we shot the current sports TV Rose Bowl special, and we did a really cool bump with Sparty, and Scott Westerman actually helped set that up. I did a one-on-one interview with Scott that was a big part of that special, and he's been a guest of ours numerous times here on WKAR's Current Sports. Those who have ever met Scott know that he's a great guy. He's very engaging, very down to earth, and boy, oh boy, does he bleed the green and white. So naturally, when putting all of that in perspective, when I read about this news concerning Scott Westerman this morning, I was a bit surprised. But I felt like 30 seconds after that, I said to myself, am I really surprised, though? Because I think we're getting to a point now where we are expecting, here in the Michigan State community, we are expecting negative stories now. We're sitting there, you know, as we wake up and as we scour the headlines as what is a part of many of our normal routines in the morning, we are sitting there looking like, okay, what else negative came out when it comes to Michigan State University? What is it today? What's the latest negative headline? And I think we're getting to a point where we are really becoming numb now. It's becoming, you know, old hat, where it's like, yep, there's another story. That doesn't surprise me. Nothing really surprises me anymore. That's my mood, at least. And that's the feeling that, you know, when talking to students, when talking to alum, I get the feeling that many of you feel the same way. Bob Thomas will serve as interim director of the MSU Alumni Association while a search for a new executive director is conducted. As I noted at the top of the hour, MSU spokeswoman Emily Garrett told the Free Press after the newspaper asked about Westerman's status. A complaint is what we do know, because I'm not going to sit up here and speculate as to what happened. Because we don't know what happened, we have to let the investigation play out and let the facts come out. Westerman has said that this situation stems from a time frame of when he first got his position as alumni executive director here at Michigan State. But a complaint was filed against Westerman with the school's Office for Institutional Equity on February 9th. The investigation is ongoing. Further details have not been made available. Now, when it comes to the OIE, the Office for Institutional Equity, you may be asking yourself, okay, what does the OIE investigate? What kind of allegations do they investigate here at MSU? Well, they dive into situations such as discrimination, harassment, and violations of the school's anti-discrimination policy and policy on relationship violence and sexual misconduct. We have brought up the OIE many times in these recent months, in this recent past year. You know, when it pertains to situations concerning former Michigan State football players Josh King, Donnie Corley, and Demetric Vance, the OIE held an investigation there. also when it comes to the time frame of the Larry Nassar investigation. The OIE was involved there, of course. So you can pretty much gauge what kind of situations they investigate here at the university. Again, discrimination, harassment, violations of the school's anti-discrimination policy, policy on relationship violence, and sexual misconduct. Quite jarring, though, when you look at now Scott resigning from his position here at Michigan State University. He is certainly one of the big faces and big names here at MSU. I mean, heck, you know, a few weekends ago, I remember sitting there on the couch and watching local television, and boom, there you see Scott Westerman on a commercial for the Michigan State University Federal Credit Union, where he's doing this spot with Sparty. He's a big name. He's a big face. He represents the Michigan State alum. And now he's gone. And as I was prepping for this discussion here on Today's Current Sports and doing some Googling, I mean, I found it also quite jarring as I typed in Scott's name and I'm doing some prep and looking up his history. And, you know, I found a picture of Scott when he was at the Rose Bowl. And it's Scott, Luana K. Simon, and Mark Hollis all together. Yeah, just put that in perspective, right? Mark Hollis, Luana K. Simon, and Scott Westerman have all now resigned and are no longer a part of this university. And again, just for clarification, Scott, his resignation will be final on July 31st. But isn't that something? I mean, the three names right there that have been so instrumental in leading this university into some pretty cool and untapped spaces, now gone. Westerman actually has been at MSU since 2010 when he took over as leader of the university's Alumni Association. And Athletic Director Mark Hollis, he stepped down. As many of you know, we covered that extensively back in January, a couple of days after the NCAA announced an investigation into the school's handling of the Larry Nassar situation. And that day was so crazy because just hours after that, ESPN released those reports led by reporter Paula Levine that was very critical for the athletic department and the department's handling of sexual assault accusations going at the Michigan State football team, going at the Michigan State men's basketball team. But again, I don't know. And also, I want to address this as well, because when I tweeted out this story this morning, naturally, and I'm not saying all of the Michigan fan base, but naturally a few idiots decided to tweet directly at me and take a jab at Michigan State University. How low is that? Those that have been doing that, and I've had conversations with other media members about the situation as well. Where, you know, I get it, rival fan base, you know, some of you sick minds out there may be reveling in the negativity here at MSU, which is beside me. But hey, if that's your character, that's on you. But I just don't get it. I just don't understand it. You know, you talk about situations as serious as that of what is happening at Michigan State University, and you as a rival fan base get off on that kind of stuff. I don't understand that. You know, like I got a tweet, and I'm going to call these individuals out. You know, I always say, you know, cowards behind keyboards, to steal a line from Tom Izzo. You know, at Go Blue JoJo 1978. And another one bites the dust. Hashtag culture. I mean, come on, dude. I just want to address it. I mean, those idiots out there, whatever fan base you may be from, where's your moral compass? That's all I want to say when it comes to that. But you're going to have idiots out there who just are going to look at this as a win for their university in some sick way, which I will never understand. Will never understand. But you talk about, you know, culture, right? Well, with this latest headline, and again, we don't know. We don't know specifics when it comes to Scott Westerman and what happened and what's being investigated, what's being alleged here. We don't know specifics, but another negative headline coming out like this. Many are questioning the culture here at Michigan State. As cliche as a word as that may sound, the culture at Michigan, is there a problem with the culture at Michigan State University? It's hard to argue otherwise when we keep getting pounded with stories like this. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media. Check out the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. A few of you commenting below the live stream. I see comments actually rolling in as we speak. Amanda, I'm going to get to your comments. Ben has been commenting. Greg has been commenting. I'm going to read a few of your comments when we come back from this break. You can also even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, at WKAR_sports. We will also be chatting and we'll try to bring some light to your day by chatting with Sergeant Jason Fuller, a dear friend of the show. He is also a rep for the 9th annual Battlefield Brawl Charity Flag Football Tournament that will be taking place this weekend starting Sunday morning. That chat and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just wrapped up segment A discussing the latest negative headline coming out of the camp of Michigan State University. If you have not heard, Michigan State University's alumni executive director is under investigation by the school's Title IX office and has resigned. That person is Scott Westerman. He told the school his resignation will take place effective July 31st. Again, to read the statement that he gave to us here at WKAR, Westerman wrote, quote, at 11 today, I met with my team to announce my impending departure from MSUAA to return to the private sector in Jacksonville, Florida, where the rest of the Westerman family lives. My last day will be April 27th. So his last day will be April 27th, but the resignation will become set in stone on July 31st. He goes on to say, quote, with the end of another school year at hand, the timing seemed appropriate. I was recently surprised to learn that I am the subject of an OIE inquiry. It covers a brief period near the start of my tenure. It's not a police matter. And naturally, I am fully cooperating with investigators. I don't have further comment until their work is complete. With regard to our departure, we have been planning to return to Florida for some time. The inquiry was not a factor in that decision. Again, multiple ways in which you can weigh in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or simply go to our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below there. Amanda says, yes, state has a problem that needs to be fixed. No question about it. Ben comments and says, why is the Title IX office going after Scott Westerman when they had their own problems of not filing the paperwork properly. This is getting ridiculous. So I feel like Ben is just, again, just like Amanda, venting their frustration. And again, Ben, to address that, obviously, you know, the Office of Institutional Equity here and in the Title IX office saw something that was wrong, and they wanted to follow up with it. And again, I don't know how accurate this is, but I've also heard rumors of reports that other news outlets, other connects that I have in the media have said that they have had an eye on this for some time when it comes to Westerman. Also, Greg says he was already planning on leaving before all of this, question mark. And yeah, that's what he said in the statement, Greg. So, again, that's just, you know, putting my finger on the pulse of the Michigan State fan base here. I feel like you're tired. You are fatigued. You are worn out. Tired of hearing stories like this, right? Very troubling. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. We'll take your calls on this topic. In the meantime, while you guys are calling in and trying to digest all of this jazz, I do want to get to a guest who has been waiting oh so patiently. It's our dear friend, Jason Fuller, Sergeant Jason Fuller, who is also a representative from the 9th Annual Battlefield Brawl Charity Flag Football Tournament that will take place, and I can't believe the week is already here. It will take place this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. I will be playing for what I believe will be my fifth straight year. It's always a fun event. I've been hitting the weights, getting ready for it. I'm ready to make some plays, score some touchdowns. Jason Fuller, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. How you doing, Jason?
Brother, how about yourself?
Always good, man. So, again, just remind the folks that the week is here. How can they get involved? And for those who have been living under a rock and don't even know what the Battlefield Brawl is, what is it, Jason?
Well, you know, it's a, as you know, Al, being part of it the last 5-6 years now, it is a charity flag football tournament that Spartan great and NFL great TJ Duckett and none other than Lansing's own Justin Kane founded to benefit the Oldham Project years ago. And the original thing was the Oldham Project provides pitchers to those that are terminally ill, men, women, children, to their families to have lasting memories. Well, through the years of doing this, we've benefited the Oldham Project quite a few years. Last couple of years, we've benefited the Davies Project, which provides transportation to families that have children that are ill, that they really can't afford the transportation to get these children to and from. And generally, it's retired doctors, therapists, stuff like that, that transport the children. So it's a great cause, and it's also benefiting Todd's philanthropic organization of New World Flood. And basically, right now, what it is, this is over the last 8 years, we've had former MSU football and basketball players and local celebrities like yourself have teamed up to play with average Janes and Joes in the annual football tournament that we've had. First few years, we were out there at Michigan State at the Duffy Doherty Complex and a couple other places. Last 3 or 4 years, we've been at Marshall Park, and it's always been great. And so it's been a great thing. We have great sponsors. DJ Darkness from RNS DJs is going to be spinning the tunes out there for us this weekend. Lansing Sports Authority, as always, has donated our scores tables and clocks and everything for the games. And as of right now, I do have a few names that I'm allowed to put out there.
Okay.
That are going to be out there. One of them being you yourself, Al. But we also have Marshall Bryce. We have former Spartan running back R.J. Williamson.
Wow.
We have Ward Skills. And we have the former Seattle Seahawk, Atlanta Falcons, Detroit Lions running back T.J. Duckett. Then we also have Quincy Wilson, former Spartan corner/safety Charles Barber. We have Brian T. Jackson from City Council. And we also have none other than Lansing's mayor, Andy Shore, coming out.
Andy Shore is going to play this weekend.
Andy Shore is going to play.
I'll try not to lay a hit down on him. I know it's flag football, Jason.
Well, I always have my eye on one person if they're on the opposite team of me that I will hit. And I'll take the 15-yard penalty because it doesn't bother me to hit him.
Who's that?
And that would be none other than Devin himself.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. I dig that. You're no holds barred when it comes to Devin, huh?
It's no holds barred when it comes to Devin because, yeah, he's a few years younger than me, and he can still outrun me. But to tackle an NFL player, it's a great feeling.
That's an accomplishment you can put and cross off, I should say, off your bucket list, right, Jason?
Right, definitely.
Right.
And something I want to try and do here before the end of the week, I want to work some way to try and get Todd in there with you.
Without a doubt.
To definitely talk about it. I'm talking to Amber, one of our other board members right now, and I'm gonna work on getting Todd in there with you.
Definitely.
But, I mean, we also, you know, Tico's going to be out there. We have had former Spartan great and Houston Oilers running back Lorenzo White has been out there a couple times. It's always great to see Zoe come out.
Right.
RVD's been out there. We've had him out there a couple times. Demetrius Cox might be coming out. Don't know yet.
I'm curious. Did you say Darian Harris?
Darian Harris is supposed to be there, yes.
Great. That's my guy, man. You know, he used to be a production assistant here at Current Sports, and he's actually getting ready to play some Canadian football, yep. I believe, and he's been training for that. So
Yes, he has. I mean, it's pretty sad stuff didn't work out for him down there in Cincinnati. I mean, last time I knew Cincinnati had a team, they had some guy named Boomer and some guy named Icky playing for him.
Right. Right. Well, that's the grind of the NFL. You know, we've talked with Darian about that. We've had him on to just talk about the grind of trying to make an NFL roster. It's tough trying to be a professional football player. But, you know, it's great that he'll be getting a chance again out in Canada. I believe he'll be playing with the Ottawa Red Blacks again. So
I think that's where he was at last year. And we also might have another guy, a former Spartan, Super Bowl champion, and Canadian Football League vet coming out also in Greg Jones. I don't have a full set if Greg is coming out, but it'd be great to see him and Mandy come back out to the Lansing area.
Definitely, and I want to let people know, I mean, again, even if you don't play, just to come out and support, get out the house, you know, don't stay – you know, cuddled underneath the TV that day. I'm looking at the weather here. You know, I've been complaining about the weather for like the past few weeks here on our airwaves, Jason. But I'm looking at the weather for Sunday.
We should 50, be okay.
55 and sunny.
We should be okay.
That's going to feel great, man. I can't wait.
That is going to feel great. It is going to feel great. And, you know, unfortunately this year, I'm not going to be able to play a whole ton because I have a prior commitment on Monday that I have to be at.
Right.
You know all my stuff I do with the Folds of Honor and things I've done with the VA.
Definitely.
I'm actually headed down for the media day for the Senior PGA Championship down in Benton Harbor at Harbor Shores.
Oh, woe is me. I know you're going to be so antsy to get to leave the brawl a little early to attend that. That sounds amazing, Jason. Well, I'm jealous.
That's actually going to be all day Monday that I'll be down there.
Right.
But I have to play in a skills challenge against Bernard Longer. So, you know, after his showing at the Masters and last weekend, I have to step my game up a little bit.
Without a doubt, Jason. And quickly, before we get you out of here, I know that you also have some vendors who show up on an annual basis to the brawl as well. Do you know what vendors will be present as well this weekend?
I know that we're going to have a couple food trucks out there. I don't know exactly who they are yet.
Okay.
I did speak to one of the guys that's playing on the team with Justin and myself the other day. His place was not bringing one out, but he said that somebody else was coming out taking his place this year because he's actually playing in the brawl. So
right,
and that would be none other than Nick that owns the Good Truck and Diner. So
great, all right. Well, hopefully we can get Todd on the show sometime this week.
He's on too right now too, which I can't wait to see this great establishment that was in Lansing for years and has been closed a few years is now going to be open soon.
And what establishment is that? I'm sorry, Jason, I cut
that
you off.
That would be Arts Bar.
Arts Bar, okay, gotcha.
It's going to be reopening. So, but, yeah, it's going to be a great time. Ask anybody that you want. Come on out. Support us. You know, see what we have going on and find out a little more information about the Davies Project and about Todd's organization, New World Flood. It's going to be a great turnout as always, and just can't wait to see how much money we raise this year for these two great organizations.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite events of the year. Do you guys have a target goal as far as funds go this year, Jason?
We hope to raise about $20,000 total.
Right.
So we can split it even 10 and 10. You know, ten to Davies, ten to New World Flood. But who knows? You know, whatever we can get, and we'll split it evenly either way.
Those who are listening and may not even be playing and just want to show up and donate to the cause, how can they do so, Jason?
Well, you can go to newworldflood.org and look at the information about Todd's foundation. And if you can, Al, I sent you on your messenger. I don't know if you can get Ian to pull it up, but if you could play the PSA that we had out there on Channel 6.
Right. Okay.
If you could actually play that here before we get off, and that'll put a little bit more information to everybody about what's going to be going on Saturday, on Sunday.
All right, great stuff. We'll try to do that then, Jason. I'll get Ian right on. I know he's busy with the phones right now, but we'll try to do that for you. Appreciate it, man.
Okay, brother. Sounds great.
All right.
Have a great one. Be easy. We'll see you Sunday.
Always.
Well, actually, I'll see you Saturday night at the party.
Exactly right. Yeah, that's the kickoff event for it. Thank you so much, Jason.
All right, brother. Have a great one.
Jason Fuller, he's fantastic. Again, he's a jack of all trades, and he's a rep for the 9th annual Battlefield Brawl. Again, this will be, I believe my 5th or 6th year. I have to go back and check. But I tell you, folks, it's a rare opportunity for the community to get out and mingle with some of the biggest names who have come out in the world of sports, whether it be, you know, in affiliation with Michigan State, whether it be with, you know, local high school players who went on to do big things as well. It's pretty amazing. And you get a chance to mix and mingle with these guys for a great cause. The weather's going to be awesome this weekend. And I must say, it gets down and dirty. All right. It gets very competitive. Many of you know who have been listening to Current Sports since it first hit the air, I am very competitive. And that competitive side comes out every single year at the Battlefield Brawl. It's fun stuff, but at the end of the day, we're trying to win. There's also a sexy trophy that you get if you do come in first, second, or third, if you place, right? So it's a great time. I mean, I may even have to get you out there, Ian. I know my past engineers like Alex Sharg, he's attended 1 year. Isaac has gone to it 1 year. It's a great way to get out, you know, and work out, while also getting a chance to meet and greet with some of the biggest names in Michigan State sports history and biggest names that this area has ever seen. It's a fun time. I don't know if you've ever played flag football. Have you played flag football?
Yeah, I played in a IM flag football league 1 year here at Michigan State. But it sounds like a really fun event. It sounds like a really nice event for the charity that they're working for. What is it, the New World Flood?
New World Flood, the Davies Project. It's great stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like a great time. I'll have to see if I can make it out this year.
Again, Sunday at 10 a.m. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, again, we'll take your calls, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I also want to make some points when it comes to the NBA playoffs, as well as Jim Harbaugh being threatened rather violently by one of his players on Twitter. Crazy story. Don't touch that dial. You want to hear this one. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have 10 minutes left in the hour. I want to get to this story before we get to our phone lines. I see a Ray. Hold tight, because this may actually rev Ray up a little bit, because I know Ray is not a big fan of A Squared and in the University of Michigan, but this is just a crazy story. A player by the name of LC Mbembose, I think I'm saying that right. I'm not completely sure, but he's not a big time player for this team, because obviously I would have nailed his name, right? But LC Mbembose appeared to have just lost his mind on Twitter last night and started posting some really crazy things that have now since been deleted. And it looks as though he's no longer listed on the University of Michigan football roster. But he went at Jim Harbaugh in these tweets. I think maybe because, you know, he's not getting any playing time or something of that nature. But to read one of the tweets, this came yesterday at 9:18 p.m. on his Twitter feed of @LCBoss. Quote, within hours of my family crisis, blank you, good night, it's on tomorrow. So I don't know what he's referring to, but before that, he went on to tweet, and again, my phone's loading here. I want to get to these tweets. Okay. He goes on to say, let's not have a murder case on your hands. Dead and alive. Not for one bleeping sec. I'm not the bad guy here. Lie, I can prove everything. It's time to say sorry, don't you think? And then he goes on to say, this is really, really disturbing. Michigan is open carry. Let's not forget. Not your friend. And then he follows that up, you know, by responding to somebody and saying, quote, they sent someone to my crib before. I was nice enough to call the cops. Next time, I'm calling the morgue. I'm talking facts. Yeah, you can see how disturbing this is, right? And then he @ Jim Harbaugh of @CoachJim for UM and says, quote, and was suspended for going to take care of my family? You bleeping. And then he has two clown emojis. So basically he's saying, you bleeping clown, @ Jim Harbaugh on Twitter. Wild story. I don't know what triggered this, but LC Mbembose just probably threw his Michigan football scholarship out the window. Again, those tweets have since been deleted. We don't know what they're in reference to. But that's some scary stuff, you know, especially in 2018, we're seeing, you know, individuals left and right just snap and mass shooting, scary stuff. So I really hope, and I would imagine that the authorities in Ann Arbor are investigating this matter without a doubt. Line one right now, we've got Ray from Indiana who wants to chime in before we bid you all adieu. Ray, how you doing?
Hey, nothing would surprise me with Jim Harbaugh. You know, he wears his welcome out wherever he goes. He's arrogant and prideful like the rest of those jerks down there.
Yeah? Well,
Hey, did you hear why Jim Harbaugh canceled the game Saturday?
The weather. Game? Weather. Inclement weather.
No, it didn't have anything to do with weather.
What have you heard, Ray?
He told his team, he said, I want you to set before the Big Ten Network and see a real team, Ohio State, playing the spring game.
Where did you get that information from, Ray? Has that been confirmed?
No.
That's speculation.
That's a joke.
that wasn't a great joke, Ray. I hear you, though. I hear you. I hear where you're coming from. You thought about that one.
It took you a little bit to catch on, didn't you?
Ray from Indiana. You are one of a kind, Ray. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, that, you know, and I don't think that, you know, you need a spring game. You know, it's more so for the fans. It's a free event. Just this weather has just been crappy here in the Midwest, dude. I mean, you see what's happening in the world of baseball right now, right?
Hey, Wisconsin and Minnesota got 2 feet of snow, and they're expecting another 15 inches.
Yeah, crazy, right? Crazy.
Why do baseball teams start on March 27th? When the teams always get snowed out in April and May.
I don't know. That's going to be a prime discussion, you better believe, come this MLB offseason, because it has been horrendous and has thrown a complete wrench in the schedules of numerous teams across Major League Baseball. So, yeah, I don't think we'll see this early start anymore.
Hey, I got
Ray.
A couple questions for you.
Yeah.
What did you think of Tiger in the Masters?
I tell you what. You know, Tiger may have underperformed in the eyes of many, including myself, in the Masters because there was so much hype. I think that the hype was a bit unrealistic because, again, this is the Masters. This kicks off, you know, the major tournament year for the PGA. Sure, he played good at the Valspar and tournaments leading up, other tournaments leading up to the Masters, but it's still going to take some time. The thing is, I think this is still a win for Tiger, Ray, because we're starting to see him just play four rounds of golf without any health concerns. His short game looks solid. He's got to work on the accuracy of his driving. It's just great to see Tiger on the tour healthy right now, Ray, which is a win for golf.
I'll never root for him until he accepts Jesus. His mom and dad brought him up as a Buddhist. I don't blame him, but I'm hoping Bubba Watson gets him saved. But I will give him credit for this month. He, for five back surgeries, he did great in the tournaments I've seen him in, and so far, he has not fired a club and used God's name in vain. He almost fired one time. He almost got ready to throw it, and he didn't throw it. So
he's containing.
Cool,
you like how he's containing
better.
Himself, then. You like how his character is elevated,
yeah,
then,
I feel like he's, since he come back, he's keeping his cool a lot better for little kids to see. You know, they're all watching him. Jack Nicklaus never did that, and he's 78. I couldn't believe Nicklaus shot 378 years old.
Right.
He almost won the tournament. He was only two behind Watson that won the tournament, and they're all in there. You know, Nicklaus is 78, and Watson's 58, oldest man to ever win it. And then he let his grandson get up there, and he said, "I think you'll get a hole in one." He told his grandson 3 days ago.
Right.
He took a practice.
What a story!
A hole in one.
I couldn't believe that when I saw that.
That was amazing.
That may have been out of the entire Masters weekend. Patrick Reed, love you. Great tournament for him, but that may have been my favorite moment of the Masters weekend.
Nicklaus,
that moment right
almost
there.
Beat all those young kids.
Crazy, right?
In the par three course.
Yeah, insane. Absolutely insane.
Hey, one other thing before I go.
Yeah, real quick.
You know, the bullies are bragging about how great they did. Rich Eisen went on Big Ten Network and said, "I'm proud of you boys." I'm thinking, proud of what? You beat a number six seed. When they went down, missed two free throws, let them bounce past the ball to half court. That's how you won that game. The other teams that were in the tournament, I can't blame them because they had to play these teams, but they were all 10 and 11 seeds that they beat.
Well, Ray, you just don't fall into the national championship game. You got to give credit, you know, for the season that Michigan had. Mo Wagner, a great year. But the maturation
it's over for him.
Yeah, it is. It's over.
It's all over for him.
I hear
they've
you.
Lost three of their best players for next year.
All right. Ray, we got to go, man.
Where they belong.
We got to go. Ray, thank you so much for the call.
Bye,
appreciate
buddy.
It. All right. I will be out tomorrow taking a day off because I have to, unfortunately, attend a funeral for my great uncle. But Ian Hawley, as well as John Simon, will be in for me tomorrow. They hope to brighten your day. Hopefully another negative headline doesn't come out tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Same time, same place. Be easy, people.